travel around the world and see places and enjoy the sights, but as the saying goes, no place is like home. So it's good to be back here and to have fellowship with the saints. Just briefly, as some of you probably know, we were away for almost 3 months visiting the land of India, the southern part. And I just wanted to say, we had a very profitable time, not only seeing the friends and relatives, but the important mission of the trip was to visit some of the assemblies that we were associated with and some of the ones that we didn't know. On our way, we spent more than 2 weeks in Dubai, and there is a lot of assemblies in Dubai, so visited three of them. One of them I had two meetings, and the actually two of them had two meetings each, and one had one meeting, and it was the Lord bless the ministry of his precious word. And also in India, as I emailed Sonia Aidima, that 1 week we were in one of the assemblies, there was five people got baptized. And you know, it's good to see that the Lord is still working and saving souls. And we had quite a few cottage meetings and home visitation. It's eager to see those people wanted to learn the scriptures, because this is something new to them, and they all come prepared with the notebook and pencil and pen to take notes and learn. This one particular family got saved. The mother used to come to the meetings, and the husband said, well, if they want to come, or the wife and the children, they want to come, I have no objection, but I'm not coming. So the wife got saved, and the two daughters, so one is 27 and the other one is 24, they both got saved. And then they wanted to get baptized. Then he was interested, so he came to the meetings, and eventually he got saved. And when they were baptized, he wanted to get to baptize with them, but the church told them, well, you're just brand new, so just wait for a little while before we baptize you. So he's going to get baptized in the next little while. And this was completely a Hindu family, that they've been idol worshippers all their life and their families. So it's good to see that the gospel has the power to save anyone. And so I just want to briefly mention that this morning. So thanks for your prayers, and continue to remember those areas in the world that still the proclamation of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now today our portion is from the book of Philippians chapter 3, and I hope some of you have read some of these. Verses 1 to 11 is our portion this morning. So let's read chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 1. And I'm reading from the King James Version. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning the seal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word this morning. As many of you know, the apostle was, to our standard, he was an extraordinary Christian. That's what we think when we think about somebody like the Apostle Paul. But he liked to remind us that was the normal Christianity that he lived. And some of the things that he says, not only here, but in the other epistles and the book of Acts, we can see what a change has taken place in this man's life. And because of that, all the things that he says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I count everything but dung as garbage. And the reason that he gives us is that is because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. If you read the account of the life of the Apostle Paul, we got to go back to the book of Acts chapter 9, and we read the historical conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And if you go to the book of Acts chapter 22, gives the account, the Jewish account of his conversion. If you go to the book of Acts 26, he gives us the Gentile account of his conversion. And when he appeared before King Agrippa, he says, I was not disobedient to the vision that I had from God. Here is a man who was a brilliant lawyer, who is highly educated, who has the highest education that was possible at that time, is a very religious Pharisee, and very thoroughly learned in the law, and he had all the things that well, as we think about the worldly success, he had possessions, he had power, he had prominence, he had prestige, he has privileges, he had prerogatives, and yet he contrasts that life to his life now. As you know, if you read the account of his life, of what he suffered as a Christian, If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he lists all those things what he suffered for Christ's sake. Now, I just want to briefly look at what his life was before his conversion and after his conversion. Before his conversion, he was known as the antagonistic Saul. Now, after his conversion, now he is the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see the difference, what has taken place in this man's life. Before he was a Pharisee, he was no peasant. Now he is a saint in Christ Jesus. Before he was a blasphemer, now he is blessed by the Lord. Before he was keeping the law, now he is kept by grace of the Lord Jesus. Before he had a religion, now he has a relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps some of you here fit to this category. You probably have a religion. You probably have, you go to church. Perhaps you observe all the ceremonial things and you live to trying to be a good person. According to some of the others, the neighbors look at you and say, oh, he is a very good man or a very good woman. And yet, the Apostle Paul here says, I had all that before, but that was actually a liability to my life rather than a privilege and a benefit to my life. So before, he had a religion. Now he got a relationship. Before he was lost in sin, now he is saved in Christ Jesus. Before he was a persecutor, now he is a pursuer of Christ. Before he was the enemy of the cross, now he says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, God forbid that I should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was a citizen of Rome, now he is a citizen of heaven. Before he had knowledge in his head, now because he met the Lord Jesus, he has kindness in his heart. Before he thought he was doing the work of God. Remember, he had a letter from the authority, the Sanhedrin from Jerusalem, to go and persecute the Christians. And now he is doing the will of God rather than the work of God that he thought he was doing. Before he had gain of all possessions, so that is what he's talking about in the book of Philippians. Look at what he is saying. Because of the change that happened in his life, now he says he refused to trust in his rituals. Because he says there, verse 5, he says he was circumcised the eighth day. That was the Jewish custom, the ritual that he had to go through. And then he says, not only he refused to trust in his ritual, but he refused to trust in his relationship, because he was the stock of Israel. And also his respectability. That is, he says, I was from the tribe of Benjamin. They had respect among the Jewish people. Now, because of the relationship with the Lord Jesus, now he says, he refused to trust even in his race, because he says, I was a Hebrew out of the Hebrews. So there was the Jewish people were very proud of their race. But he says, now, because of the Lord Jesus, I refuse to trust in my race. And he says, I refuse to trust in my religion. Because he says, touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Because in other words, what he is saying is, I follow everything to the letter as a Pharisee. And he says, touching the righteousness, he was blameless. So now he says, I refuse to trust in all this, in my ritual, my relationship, my respectability, my race, my religion, my own righteousness. Why? Because I have a new relationship and new righteousness, which is from Christ the Lord Jesus. And that's what he says. He received Christ because he has a new righteousness and a new relationship. And he says later on that he has a new reward. So before he had gain of all possessions, but now he suffered all for the Lord Jesus. He was before he was the hunter of Christians, and now he is being hunted because he followed the Lord Jesus. And before he says he was a chief of sinners, and now he is the great preacher of the gospel. What a difference this man's life taken place, because of one reason, that the risen Lord Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And that's what he is saying in the book of Acts. He says, King Agrippa, he was appearing before him, and he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision that I saw. So because of that, he is saying to the people that what happened to him in his life is dramatically changed his the course of his entire life. And what a life this man had. But now he states that because of the knowledge of Christ, now he refused all those things. And look at what he says in some of the scriptures, because if you study, when you have time, the I ams of the Apostle Paul in the epistles, if you can see, he says, now he is an apostle to the Gentiles. That was his mission, because the Lord Jesus told him on the when he asked him, Lord, what will you have me to do? And he says, I want to be an apostle to the Gentiles, to go and preach the gospel. So he says he is the least of the apostles. In 1 Corinthians he says 15, he says he is less than least of all the saints. He says, I am chief of sinners, I am crucified with Christ, I am a minister, I am clean, I am pure, I am of good conscience. And he says in Romans chapter 1, I am a debtor. And he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And then he says, I am ready to preach the gospel. And he also says, I am made all things to all men, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 22. What a life, what a change has taken place. So then he says, I am ready to be bound for the Lord Jesus. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and at the end, almost his end of his life, he says, I am ready to be offered. And because of that, he says, the Lord is laid up a crown of righteousness for me. Not only for me, but all those who put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. So his life, the Apostle Paul's life, was a display of the mind of Christ. It was the demonstration of the magnificence of Christ. It was the declaration of the message of Christ. So here we can say his life, the Apostle Paul, embraced the person of Christ. Not only he embraced the person of Christ, but he also experienced the power of Christ in his life. And thirdly, he enjoyed the preaching of Christ. And fourthly, he expounded the passion of Christ. So, because of that, now he says in the book of Philippians, now because of he has a position in the Lord Jesus, of that chapter 1, then he says, my purpose is to live for Christ. For to me is to live is Christ, and die is gain. And he says, now my privilege is to preach Christ, and now my price is to win Christ, and my prospect is to be with Christ. Because he mentioned that in this chapter later on, because he says in verse 20, he says, for our conversation or our manner of life is in heaven, from which whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even unto subdue all things unto himself. So, and he says, now my perfection is to be like Christ. Because he says, later on in this chapter, Frank is going to talk to us next week, that forgetting those things which are past or behind, and pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God. And that was his perfection. It's a prospect. And the power and the prime example of his life was the Lord Jesus. So, what we learn from this man's life. Later on, if you were here in the morning meeting, Frank read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And this is the verse he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. All the old things are passing away or passed away. All things are becoming new or became new. So here is the goal of the Apostle Paul. Preaching of the gospel is not only good news, but it is the best news ever. The gospel, as we know, it means good news. But I got something better than that, because it is the best news ever that we got. Because for number one, it is for anyone, regardless of race, religion, whatever you have. It is because that word says, if any man, any woman be in Christ, that doesn't discriminate against anybody. Because that's what John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, For God so loved the world, that include you and me and everyone else, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, some of you probably watch TV. There is a thing called the reality shows, right? And some of them they take you at an old rundown house and they kick them out and say, okay, you get lost for 2 weeks, and when you come back you will see a different house. And you know, they show that all the work that they go through to make this, and with these they bring these people back, and they can believe their eyes when they step into the front door. This is our house. It's transformed. And look at the things that, so this is what result. It's the biggest makeover in a person's life is the believing on the Lord Jesus and becoming a Christian. So it is for anyone, and the result is a person's world's view and God view and perspective on life completely changes. That's what it means. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And it is the ultimate makeover for any man, for any woman. Because why? Because all the old things passing away or passed away, all things are becoming new. All things became new because of this is the great exchange. You know, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now is only by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I don't have time to expound those verses now, but it is an executed life, but also it's an exchanged life that the Apostle Paul says, but now I live. So it is for anyone. It is the ultimate makeover. And you know, the third interesting thing is it takes care of the past. All the old things are passed away. No matter what kind of a sinner you have been, God says, in Christ Jesus, you are forgiven. You and I have forgiveness of our sins in the person of the Lord Jesus because of his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And that is why the Apostle Paul could say, now, therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God. What a commodity to have in our world today. And fourthly, it introduces the new future to you and to me. All things have become new. The Lord Jesus gives you eternal life. He gives you heaven. He gives you a bright future. And he also gives you the person of the Holy Spirit to assist you, to guide you throughout all your life until you are taken or we all get to glory. What a tremendous prospect that is. So what are we supposed to do with this things that the Apostle Paul is saying? He says, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but garbage, that I may win Christ. And he says that I may know him. Not about knowing about the Lord Jesus, but he wanted to know him personally. There are a lot of people in the world, you know. It was interesting when I'm sure I can say this with Luke and Sarah's permission, was very interesting on the Bible study. Sarah told us when Lily was just 3 years old, Luke's mom and dad came to visit them, and Lily told his mom, he says, we've been praying for you all the time. You know why? Because my mommy says you don't know the Lord Jesus. And Luke's mom says, no, I know the Lord Jesus. And he says, Lily says, were you there when he was born in Bethlehem? See the how the little minds work? But she's right, because he says, yeah, she knows about the Lord Jesus, a lot of things, because they were told. And you know, but the difference is, do you really know him? And that's what the Apostle Paul trying to bring to us, because he had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, and so now he can say, I know him. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, I know whom I have believed and persuaded, that he is able to keep that which I committed him unto him against that day. What an assured man, a positive man, was the Apostle Paul. So it is what we're going to do with this. Be intentional about getting alone with God like the Apostle Paul. That man wanted to know the person of Christ. So that's what I was just saying. He embraced the person of Christ. Put the right priorities in our life and in our time to know him, that we may know, not only know him as the Savior, but the power of his resurrection. That living in a resurrected, powerful life. Because the Lord Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 19, he says, because I live, you shall live also. And that is what the basic of Christianity is. And determine and to live with a holy devotion, and make a maximum effort to share the gospel. Because you know, we sometimes say, oh, that's the work of the evangelist, that is the work of, you know, church elders, that's the work of you know, some of the other people. No, every Christian is a ambassador for the Lord Jesus. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you read the verses following that we read, that's what it says there. Therefore, we are ambassadors for him. In other words, it is your job and my job to share the gospel. And you know, it was a great pleasure and privilege for us when we were in India. Like, wherever you see, there was a driver who stayed with us, and I was constantly telling him about the Lord, because he's a Hindu. He doesn't believe in Christ Jesus. So finally, he said, I believe all what you say. So I said, come to the meeting in the evening and bring your wife. Go home and tell your wife. The next day, he just came to the meeting, but he didn't bring his wife. So I said, what happened? Oh, I went home and told her, but she says, no, my parents, they all followed Hinduism, and their parents, they followed Hinduism, so she didn't want to come. So I said, it's your responsibility. Now you know what I told you. So it is your responsibility. Go and tell her what you're believing is not the truth, but this is the truth. So it is a good thing to share the gospel who doesn't know the Lord Jesus. Finally, there's seven things I just want you to remember. And they all start with the letter C. Okay? Paul committed himself as a personal trust to Christ. That's what we see in verse 8 of chapter 3. Not only he committed himself as a personal trust to Christ, he coveted for himself a precious treasure to Christ. And he contemplated his experience as a present transition. Because in the book of Corinthians, he says, all the things that he suffered in his life, and you can read that about all his things in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He gave a big list of things that he suffered and his experience, but he says all these sufferings, it's only just for a moment. You know why? Because he was looking at eternity versus 60 years or 50 years or 80 years of suffering here. But when you think about that, it is only just for a moment, he says, the sufferings. So he committed himself as a personal trust to Christ. He coveted for himself a precious treasure to Christ, contemplated his experience as a present transition. Verse 9. And then he says, he not only that, he consecrated his energies for this life. And he also had confidence in his goal, because that's what he describes in verse 12 and 13 and 14. He says, because although not I have already obtained, but I am following after. And he says that I may be apprehended of Christ. And then finally, because of all this, the Lord has compensated him. Because that's why he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, I am ready to be offered, and the Lord has laid up a crown of righteousness for me, not only for me, but all those who put their trust and faith in him. May the Lord help each one of us in our Christian life. And because of the Apostle Paul also reminds us that he says, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. What an example to follow this man's life for the Lord Jesus. What a tremendous power that he had, and he loved, completely sold out to the person of the Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit help us to live that kind of life in the coming days for his name's sake. Shall we pray?